970 KCMD
AM.
Solid State Radio.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Welcome to day 12. What is today? It's July 5th. Yes, it is. We are here live, as we were yesterday and the day before, providing you with whimsicality and entertainment. It's 46 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of July in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Program. Appreciate you, thank you for being out there today. If you'd like to be part of today's program for whatever misguided reason, you can do that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up today. We've got a snuff watch. You probably already know who it's about. Except that Tim all morning has been saying Carl Rove instead of the guy who actually died. That's a little bit of a tease in case you don't know. You probably know. But all morning Tim's been saying Carl Rove is dead. Well, he's not, by the way. And we are glad for that because he, for some reason, I don't know why. There's some sort of weird Freudian projection on Tim's part. In any event, so we have a non-Carl Rove snuff watch coming up today. His day will come, though. We have a cannibal watch. Today's cannibal watch is fantastic and disturbing, by the way. As are they all, but this one especially so. Let's see. We have Jim Roop coming up later on today. We have Gary Baumgarten coming up as well. Gary Baumgarten is going to talk about Kim Jong-il, who apparently filed... What is it, like eight... Filed. I'm speaking like Kim Jong-il. Filed missile at us. Over the weekend, over the holiday.
At least no pieces of foam fell out.
Yeah, they don't have to postpone their launches. How embarrassing for us as a country. Wait, was that over the weekend or was it over the holiday?
That was yesterday.
Yesterday?
We were here.
Okay. I know. No, not the shuttle launch, the North Korea thing. Was that yesterday as well?
Yes, it was.
Did he time that to... That
he was
bastard.
Helping to celebrate America's birthday.
Thanks, Kim. We appreciate that.
A little flag waving at his part.
He's got a huge pornography collection. Did you know that? Kim Jong-il, he apparently owns... It's like 8,000 pornographic films he owns. He has a whole vault. I'm not making this up. He has a whole vault, apparently, because he is a frosty. He's an amateur. He really wants to direct. Not unlike most dictators. Like most dictators, he is a frustrated art student. And he wants to direct, but he apparently has a gigantic collection of pornography. Anyway, so we'll talk to Gary Baumgarten about the North Korea firing missiles at us. I expect that we'll be over there any moment. Any moment now, we will be mobilizing National Guard troops to go deal with the threat of North Korea. Because that's what we do with countries that are threats, right?
That would be a real war.
No. Our quasi-elected leader assured me that when a country poses a threat to freedom and democracy, that we go over there and we clean house. We do what needs to be done, no matter the price that must be paid. So I expect probably by the end of today, if it hasn't already started, maybe by the end of this sentence, we will begin mobilizing the military and National Guard to go over there and restore freedom to North Korea. Because that's what we do. Later on, we also have another installment of Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. Jen Lane will be here, an exciting new day for her. She's now going to be coming in on Wednesdays, because on Thursdays, she's so drunk she can barely stand. Which is to be expected, because on Wednesday, she does that cat house thing, right? Which is fantastic. Now, tonight's her thing tonight is going to be doubly special because, and I put off talking about this. We didn't talk about it yesterday, and we didn't talk about it on Monday, because frankly... And Sarah and I have both got this affliction, and I know that Joni DeRoshi started to get the same way, that if I start to think about it too much, it just makes me, like, I get a weird sort of rush to the head, and then I get really nervous, and I have to go sit down in the corner and hum quietly to myself. Because tonight is the debut of Rockstar Supernova, featuring our good friend and Rick Emerson Show family member Storm Large. Storm and the Balls, you've seen many times. They performed a couple times at our listener event. She was at the listener party 9. She sang the lead of Ford there, and that closed my eyes forever. So that show starts tonight. It's like a twice-a-week thing. I think it's like American Idol style, where it's like the first night is they're in the mansion, and then the second night they vote somebody off. And we'll see already. I'm starting to get all cranked up about it. We have to wait. Sarah Dillon joins us today, as does she always. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Did you sleep soundly last night?
I did.
Did you do that all by yourself, or did you have help with that?
Actually, my friend stayed over.
Your friend Jim Beam? That's what I was. I wasn't going the sex way. I was going the drinking way.
Oh.
So yeah. Maybe it was a little bit of both. It was a holiday, after all. I was just going to know that you seem especially bright-eyed and perky today.
Yeah, I did get a lot of sleep, you know. Well, Clyde and I started drinking right after the show.
Yes, I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the best part, by the way, was here's another way in which CBS Radio is not like where you work. See, because I was all anal retentive about it yesterday, about it was a holiday, and there was as befits an American radio station, there were several cold frosty ones being cracked, as the working man says, there were cool ones being opened after yesterday's broadcast, and so Sarah's getting ready to go off, but she's enjoying a bottle of America's finest. Right before, you know, before she got ready to leave yesterday,
broken sitting in the lobby. Broken relationships this morning.
The best part, though.
Well rested, though.
He said, I came out of the lobby. I'm like, please be sure that when you're done, you throw. And I'm like the camp counselor. Please be sure that you throw your bottles and cans and your caps in the appropriate garbage receptacle before you leave. You know, I didn't want the beer cans. Yeah, but then Sean Couples, the engineer, is there. And Sean Couples says, it's CBS. No one cares.
I know.
Just leave. Have you seen the people who work here? Leave them around. We go to the refrigerator, actually, to put the beer in there, and there's already, like, a half rack in there that's two-thirds gone, because the sales department can't get through a day without getting blind drunk. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Well, Satan has a gentleman caller after a popular disgraced captain industry dies of a massive heart attack.
No, that's too bad.
Not so fast, travel skeptics and conspiracy folks. We want to see the DNA. Think he's probably been jetted away to Argentina, Nazi war criminal style. Pieces of foam did fall off the space shuttle during liftoff yesterday after everyone said everything's fine. Is there anything else NASA's not telling us?
There you go. That's all coming up. We will talk to Jen Lane. We will, let's see, what else do we have here? I want to start a new policy on this program right now. I was thinking about this yesterday. As I was driving home, I was thinking about how it has been pointed out many times that I am actually the weakest link in my own radio program. That really, I am really the worst thing about the Rick Emerson Show. Because Sarah comes here, she does her job, she does it well, she does it without flaws, goes home, enjoys a life full of fulfillment and friendship. Tim Riley comes here, does the news as only he can, gives you a little bit of zing, puts a little spring in your step and a dip in your hip every day with the unique and fascinating way which she delivers the news. Scotty J does everything else and does most of the real work here. I do nothing.
Scotty J is one hard worker.
He's a busy bee.
Even when he's hungover, he is here working as hard as he can.
He apologized, by the way, for being late this morning. He was here an hour before the show started. He's supposed to be here from 11 to 3 every day. He's usually here from like 10 to about 9 o'clock at night. He's supposed to be here at 11 a.m. He usually shows up at 10 a.m. He gets here exactly on time today at 11 a.m. and apologizes. I'm sorry, I tried to be here hours early. I tied one on last night. I'm sorry for only being here during the hours that I'm actually supposed to be here. How have I let you down? I just sit here and get the show off course and make nonsensical remarks and promote things that never happen. So here's what we're going to do as of today, Sarah Dillon.
Yes, sir.
At the top of every day's program, beginning today, I'm going to give a list of things we will get to today. At the end of today's program and every day, we will tally whether I have gotten to those things.
Okay.
And then I am making now this offer. There's no one is asking me to do this.
Push-ups?
Yes.
Really?
I am making this offer.
That thing. We are going to Sabalas tonight. You better be careful.
I am making this offer as a free citizen. And I will do. How many do you say think is fair for each item on the list that we do not get to?
Oh, one.
Okay. Well, I was willing to.
No,
go.
If you're asking for the lashing.
It's too late. I was willing to go as high as five, but I'll settle for one. So I will give you now.
I still have numerous push-ups stacked up in my head.
You got six left.
No, there was some from before too.
No, you got six. So I will give you a push-up.
No, it's not us.
I will give you a push-up for each item at the end of the program that I have teased and not gotten to.
Okay.
That is what I will do. It's 503-733-2970. So just to recap, are you giving the list now? Today we will talk. Now, some of these are gimmies. Jen Lane will be here.
Okay.
We'll talk about Rockstar Supernova, which debuts tonight. We will have Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. Jim Roop. Cannibal Watch. Snuff Watch.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's what I normally do.
Well, I guess that's enough.
No, you usually have a couple songs that you're going to play and like some bit.
This will force me to do one of two things. To either manage the show in a responsible and realistic fashion and not promote things I can't possibly do, or to be punished when I color outside the lines.
Okay.
There you go. In your face. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Tim Riley, the city desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. Okay, let's get to all this holiday stuff first. There have been two more drownings, bringing the drownings to 13.
Do we need
Oregon
a water
rivers.
Watch or something? All right, fine. You're sure this isn't the river rising up and attacking people like in Creepshow 2?
No, people are just doing.
Okay, there you go. Where was it? Was that here?
Yes, it's all.
I guess
here.
It's where the water is. It wouldn't really be happening in Kansas.
And a 10-year-old girl who was injured after being run over by a float she was riding on is improving. The little girl jumped off to grab some candy that somebody threw at her, and she was run over by the float.
Stay on the float. It's like
you'll get candy when you get home. Don't take candy from strangers. That's why.
Don't take candy laying in the street. It's been thrown at you by a stranger. You know this? This girl grows up to be the girl who goes hiking and wanders off the trail. Mm-hmm. And then it required hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars to get a helicopter to fish her out of a crevasse somewhere.
Police did kill a motorist on a crowded Vegas strip street after a dispute over the driver's noisy car stereo.
Fantastic.
The man defied an order from two bicycle officers to turn his stereo down.
Killed by a bike officer. Mm-hmm.
Then drove off with one officer hanging onto the car. The vehicle collided with a taxi, hit a pole, knocking the officer unconscious. The other officer said, enough's enough. Fired once, killed the driver.
Hold on now. Is the only person dead in this story the guy who wouldn't turn down the stereo?
Correct, yes.
Fine. Then I can laugh heartily and long. Hey, Lo lives there. Maybe he saw. Maybe he's heard about it. All right.
Don't misbehave in Vegas, ever.
No, it's true. Well, he won't get this till tomorrow.
Tomorrow may be gone, but still.
He won't hear this till tomorrow. Lo, apparently, he hears the show on a one-day delay for some sort of a crazy podcasting thing that I don't know anything about, certainly. I wouldn't know how that happens. Lo, you are now hearing this through the miracle of time. I have shifted time and space. It is now Thursday when you are hearing this. Mm-hmm. So if you know anything about this, you just call me, because I don't know where he lives in relation. Where was this? Is this like the strip?
In Vegas, on the strip, yeah.
I don't know where he lives, but you kill a guy.
Probably not on the strip.
Right? Probably. That's where I'd live, man. I'd live right there. I wouldn't even live in a strip. I'd just have some sort of a pup tent right inside the MGM Grand.
MGM will sell you a condo in there.
Or maybe the Four Queens downtown or something. Or Binion's. Fitzpatrick's. Or no, it's Fitzpatrick's? No, that's the Kennedy. Fitzgerald's.
Yeah.
What is that place downtown by Harris? And I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway,
Fitzgerald's.
The point is, so the guy who got killed wouldn't turn down his radio. Mm-hmm. And a bike cop. And he drove up with a bike cop hanging off the car.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And look, I understand that police can be overly violent sometimes. They abuse their authority and all that. That doesn't change the fact that, look, it's a binary proposition. If you obey the police most of the time, they won't shoot you. If you disobey the police, you're going to get beaten, shot, and tased. Probably one following the other. That's just the way it is. So, You know, this is sort of like these people who drown every summer because they forget that they can't breathe underwater. You don't have gills. So when it gets hot, you get in the water to cool yourself off, perhaps at one of our finer fecal matter polluted bodies of one of our rivers here. You get in the river, that's fine. This is easy to remember for most people. When your head is above the water, you can breathe and live. When your head is below the water, you will breathe and die.
Well, that's what holidays are for, really.
Disobey a bicycle cop, you will be shot in the face. So there you go. Just don't do these things, and everything will work out fine for you.
Coming up with the snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch. Oh, on the Rich Emerson Show right here on Wednesday.
The Enron Corporation founder Ken Lay was convicted of helping perpetrate one of the most sprawling business runs in U.S. history. Is allegedly dead.
That's too
allegedly
bad.
At 64.
He no one believes it, by the way. No.
Apparently, it says here, his heart gave up at his little vacation home in Aspen where he was living a frugal life. An autopsy is scheduled to be performed today. An Aspen Community Hospital of Public Relations has limited information, like under 10 seconds.
Okay, wait, hold on. I forgot to bring these.
This is all the information they have about this.
All right.
Kenneth Lay was admitted to our emergency department at approximately 3:10 a.m. this morning and pronounced dead.
Or a dead body claiming to be Kenneth Lay.
Where was this at? What
Aspen, Colorado.
How is it that he still had enough money? Okay, that right there. Mm-hmm. That's wrong just on the surface of it. That he still had Aspen, which I believe is sort of the... Aspen is sort of the... I don't know, that's sort of the Kuwait of America in that it is, I believe, the most expensive place to live in this country, except for Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
I think Santa Barbara, actually, per capita, is the highest, it's the highest cost to live an equitable, you know, sort of average life there.
It's worth it.
Aspen's right up there. So the fact that he had enough money to go to an Aspen hospital, that's, right, if you needed more impetus to hate that guy, there it is.
So anyway, he probably hopped on the plane and is now living in Argentina Nazi war criminal style, and his new name is Fritz.
How? I don't understand how he even had the money to live there, because he's already, I mean, it wasn't like he was just accused of some crap. Like, he, what is that word? Convicted. He was convicted, him and what's his name? Skilling. Jeff Skilling. They were both convicted of this. And why, and maybe I'm late to the party here, but why was he not in prison?
Well, he hasn't been sentenced yet.
When was he was convicted? Like a year ago.
Right.
All right, fine. Well, there you go. Well, that's... Now he's sentenced to...
He's not dead.
No, he's sentenced
There's no way this guy's dead.
Sentenced to living life with an umlaut over his name in Argentina at a bar, pretending that he's from...
Clyde Lewis will find
Madrid.
Him.
Well, we've talked to...
Clyde will totally find him.
I'm telling you, we have talked to Clyde before about Clyde was a Mormon missionary. And everybody thinks that's a joke, but it's true. Clyde was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when he was 19. If you ever want to freak yourself out, look through Clyde's missionary diary. It's all clean-shaven and glassy-eyed.
I've known Clyde for 4 years now. I had absolutely no idea he...
I've talked about that.
No.
Clyde was Mormon. You know,
well,
Clyde
I knew that
Mormon.
He was Mormon. I didn't know he was a missionary.
Yeah, he was a missionary. He went to Buenos Aires for 2 years. And it's, I've looked through, and I don't mean to poke fun, because it's actually... It's kind of cool in a weird Jonestown kind of way. But he's got a journal he kept. We're getting sidetracked here. But Clyde has a journal he kept. It's like a big composition book, sort of. And it's like his journal of like, well, here I am in Buenos Aires, and boy, this sucks, and, you know, the mosquitoes the size of cars, and, you know, and they're shooting everyone who disobeys curfew. And he's got his picture, like his MTC card, which is that's the missionary training center where you go in Utah. And again, he's much younger, much thinner, very clean-shaven, totally with the short hair. And he's just like, hello, I'm Elder Lewis. I'm here to help you. Would you like to learn about a second testament of Jesus? Except he does it in Spanish. Next time Clyde's here in the studio, let's have him do the whole missionary presentation. I had him do it in my living room one time, where he gets out like a piece of paper and a pencil, and he does the whole missionary spiel. It's pretty fascinating, actually. Where Larna had him do this one time, where we had him act it out as though he had knocked on our door, and we're like, hello there, and he's like, hello there, my name is Elder Lewis from the Church of Jesus Christ.
You and your wife play role-playing games with Clyde?
Yes, we do. Usually he's the prison warden. Anyway, but he was in Buenos Aires, Argentina, which, as everybody knows, if you've seen The Boys from Brazil, that's where all the Nazi war criminals fled to begin their life anew after World War II. And Clyde has told these stories, which I believe. Clyde is sometimes given to exaggeration, but I do believe these stories, where he was in Argentina, and this would have been in the 80s, when these guys would still have been around. And, I mean, he's at some bar, you know, and it's a guy, you know, who's, what is your name? You know, my name is Felipe, but he's a guy that's, like, blonde, you know, blue eyes, and with a thick German accent, and he's, like, 75 and walks with a cane, you know, and has a lot of tattoos that have, you know, he's removed, as though he had, like, the Iron Cross or something on his forearm. So, he told us about meeting guys that he was convinced were Nazis. So that's where everybody goes. So I'm not saying Ken Lay is there, but clearly that's what happened here. He's not really dead. The sheriff's office, by the way, will make no further statements until autopsy results are available later this week.
Until they're passed on to him by Carl Rove.
Funeral home representatives have refused to give their names or any comments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he was richer than God and a friend of the White House, so we all know he's not dead. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah, what did Bush call him? Kenny Boy?
Kenny Boy.
Kenny Boy, yeah. All right, so there you go. Carl, now I'm doing it.
Sit.
Carl Rove still alive. Ken Lay still alive. Thank you. There you go. Yeah, next time Clyde is here, ask him to do his missionary speech.
I should have done it yesterday when he was all tanked.
And he does the whole, the opening line is, "Hello, sir, my name is Elder Lewis from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Did you know that Jesus," and this is the whole hook they do, if I remember this correctly, they don't start off with, like, "I would like to convert you and take 10% of your income for the rest of your life." What they say is they start with a question, like a good salesperson, that you want to know the answer to. And they say, he starts it with, "Did you know that Jesus Christ came to North America, you know, like 2,000 years ago and rode around on horses or whatever, I forget the rest of it, but that's their claim. Their claim is that Jesus came and, hung out in, like, Montana, like around the same time that he was in, you know, the Mideast." Which is clearly, like, clearly maybe nonsense.
Maybe it was like a stop on a cruise.
Yes, it's Jesus World Tour at zero. See, that'd be funny if it was like Jesus World Tour 86, 87. Doesn't really work this way. There's Jesus World Tour Zero. Hello there.
Oh,
here's...
Are you waiting for a response?
No, I'm just waiting for laughter that would never come.
It sounds like that when I was...
No, we're mourning the death of Carl Rove. Oh, I'm not... Ken Lay.
And he spent the rest of the day waiting for laughter that would never arrive. Thank you. Thank you. No, you're too kind. Do we have, is CNN talking about Ken Lay?
No. Laura, actually, I asked him, like, "Do you have anybody?" No. That's exactly
right. Why would
you not be talking about it? Well, because there's nothing to talk about. I mean, there's no information, right?
Well, we can make jokes about him.
Well, I told her we were going to talk to Gary about it.
There's never any information. There's never information on half the crap we talk to CNN about. That's not the point. Well, whatever. Hey, is Lisa Goddard today? No, she's not. It's Roop and Baumgarten. Okay, here, just between all of us and everyone listening and everyone who hears this on the net and the people who undoubtedly email Laura Caviezel with everything we say, I'm going to screw with Lisa Goddard the next time she gets on. I'm going to tell her that I have a crush on Jim Roop. Because that's weird in like 8 different ways. We'll see how she responds to that.
Laura was saying today that it's rumored that you have crushes on every CNN correspondent they have.
Yes, it's true. Bob Costantini and I are going to be making a little summer home in a chateau. His program's become very odd. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, North Korea test fired a 7th missile today, intensifying the furor that began when the reclusive regime defied international protests.
I don't think Kim Jong-il can say reclusive regime.
That could be.
All right.
Anyway, the missiles, we're told, all fell harmlessly into the Sea of Japan, provoking international condemnation. And the Bush administration is continuing to meet with allies, whatever allies we might have left. What allies do we have?
That's just Bush in a mirror.
Okay. To discuss the North Korean conflict, the White House spokesman Tony Snow called the missile test provocative activity and wouldn't cite options that the administration might be considering.
I'm sure that they are trying in very practical terms to figure out the best way to have influence on that government or to have influence with people who are going to have influence with the government.
Meanwhile, after being told it was a perfect liftoff, even though they didn't have all the information in, now we find out that more foam fell out the external tank of the Space Shuttle Discovery.
I do not believe that we were misled by our government on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it was perfect. Picture perfect
liftoff. I am horrified and stunned and amazed.
But NASA managers were prepared for it, they say, and they are happy. It says they are happy to see it happen late in the shuttle's climb into orbit.
The happiness.
They're ecstatic.
The happiness is.
We couldn't be happier about this phone falling off the shuttle. Let's have a party. Everybody get a cake and some hats.
Well, Associate Administrator Bill Gerstenmaier said the video is being carefully studied to see how much of this happiness actually occurred.
This is kind of what we expected. And in fact, it's good that we captured this in a video.
It's good. It's wonderful.
We can use it for benefit and engineering analysis.
It is a benefit.
Yeah.
The benefit to mankind.
It's the best day of our lives.
Makes the people aboard feel better.
We had a floating pool going in the back room about it. Should we break here?
We got one more.
Oh. Well, I guess we don't.
Shuttle Program Manager Wynn Hale said that installation that came off, it's harmless.
What we saw happened after the time that we are concerned about debris coming off.
I am the Hypnotoad. All glory be unto me. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. Back after this. We're still behind. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Gary Baumgarten next. You stay there.
Attention, please. This radio station has been taken over. For the foreseeable future, we will do not involve authorities.
This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
That is all.
If you haven't heard the Stephanie Miller Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. O'Reilly, the sheriff is back in town. It's now he's got the press in his sights again, my friend.
Right. Bush administration is a danger to civil liberty.
Yeah.
And that, in general, the president is harming, not helping this nation.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that was weird. We all agreed with O'Reilly for a moment. I see. Okay. All right. Oh, that's because they're the anti-Bush media.
The anti-Bush media is using all its power to damage the administration any way it can.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you believe Bush is inept, trying to undermine all his policies can't help in a time of war.
By reporting on them?
Even if he's a complete boob.
Let's listen. Stephanie Miller. Mornings at 6, only on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
The day has ended. Amber skies blend to twilight blue. The world softens a bit around the edges, and you release all the cares of the day. Now is the time for Bella Sera wine. Bella Sera Pinot Grigio from Italy. Pour a glass, relax. It's going to be a beautiful evening. Or as they say in Italian, it's going to be a Bella Sera. Imported by Bella Sera USA, Hayward, California.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. Call 1-800-459-2807. 1-800-459-2807. Call now. 1-800-459-2807.
Hello there. Did you know that Jiggles is the perfect place to relax after a hard day's work? We open at 3 p.m. daily and have more girls on the floor in the afternoon than most clubs have all night long. There are over 75 girls on the schedule, and new girls are starting almost daily. You can watch the show on one of our stages, treat yourself to a table dance, or try a dance in our VIP area. So why don't you come in after work and let one of the beautiful girls at Jiggles help you relax? Jiggles is open 7 days a week for adults 18 and up, and the doors open daily at 3 p.m. We're easy to find, just off I-5 in Tualatin at exit 289. Look for the big Jiggles sign or call 503-692-3655 for directions. And don't miss amateur night every Tuesday night at Jiggles. See you after work. The best wiggles are at Jiggles.
Hey, my
go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes.
Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mom's making an Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I guess we better make more.
It's the entertainment news you've been waiting for. Introducing the all-new and improved Gentlemen's Club, Atlantis Showgirls. Atlantis Showgirls is taking it to the next level with their newly remodeled building and their new beautiful women. Get a pen, get some paper, and write this down. Wednesday, July 19th, it's the biggest booty-shaking contest to hit the Northwest. Atlantis Showgirls will be giving away over $600 in cash and prizes. And to wrap up the month, Saturday, July 29th, it's the ice party you've been waiting for with full ice bar carvings, cold drinks, and hot women. Also, check out their free no-limit Hold'em poker tournaments every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Put your poker skills to the test and enjoy the scenery that surrounds you with two full bars, beautiful women, a full menu, beautiful women, full lottery, beautiful women, pool, and lastly, beautiful women. Atlantis Showgirls. And Atlantis Showgirls would like to show their appreciation every Monday for Industry Night. Join in for some fun, some laughs, some specials, and of course, beautiful women. It's the all-new Atlantis Showgirls on Southeast 82nd, one block north of Holgate. Or check them out at myspace.com/Atlantis Show. Atlantis Showgirls.
Attention investors, how do you protect yourself against world uncertainty and rising inflation? With an investment in gold. The price of gold has doubled in the past 5 years, and now experts are predicting gold has the potential to exceed $1,000 per ounce, and some say even more, much more. Tap into the power of gold with a free Gold Investors Kit. Call Goldline at 1-800-605-0172. Goldline has been the nation's premier gold investment company since 1960. With an investment of as little as $1,000, gold can diversify your savings, increase your growth potential, and protect your financial assets in today's unstable market. Call Goldline for your free Gold Investors Kit. 1-800-605-0172. Call right now and also ask for your free CD, How to Invest in the 2006 Gold Bull Market. Call Goldline now. 1-800-605-0172. That's 1-800-605-0172.
Call Rick Emerson at 503-733-2970. This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Okay, we're taking this out today.
Damn. Say this every time and you never
damn
do.
Damn you, Will Price. Damn you to hell! Damn dirty egg!
What shot is this?
They don't show numbers. You just have to go through them by hand.
To go through every one of them.
Well, it's the only one that's 46 seconds.
All right. Don't give them any tip-offs, because then the next time it'll be like a minute and four. It's impossible to talk seriously over this music, Ben.
What is this music, Ben?
I don't know. I just keep picturing Sailor Moon wearing a really short skirt. It's 503-733... maybe that's an inside
that
thought.
That
sounded wrong. It's 503-733-2970. I've seen his wallpaper. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like at frickerickemerson.com.
Does Will have cartoon porn?
I shouldn't say that.
Yes.
I suppose if you ask nicely.
Yeah, it depends if you're on his buddy list. Hello. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up at 12:30, Gary Baum. Oh, I guess not. What time is it?
12:33.
Okay, this is the second day in a row. Now, for those who were not listening yesterday, which is probably most of you, and that is to your eternal loss, by the way, because yesterday was a fantastic program, as was Monday. Monday and Tuesday, we probably had...
They were both actually really good.
Our main... I know that we're jinxing ourselves by saying this, but our holiday shows are always really good. Our holiday shows are fantastic. And, of course, those are the days that, like, we have 1/50th of our normal audience. But yesterday was a fantastic program. We had the Behind the Christmas, and then the other 2 hours that were also really good. But yesterday, Baumgarten who was our CNN radio correspondent from the Big Apple, he was calling us about the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest. And he was, like, jacked out of his brain. I'm not saying that he was on drugs, but I'm saying if you have ever known anyone who has perhaps has taken a lot of stimulants into their body, and everything is really exciting, and it's the best concert I've ever been to! That's kind of how he sounded yesterday as he was at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. I mean, he was out of his skin about it. And to the extent that I suspect that he's going to be a competitor next year. Next year, it's going to be, where's Gary? We don't see him doing the report. And then they're going to pan down to the front, and Baumgarten's going to be ripping off his shirt. And, like, you know, he's going to be having boys rub him with Turkish towels beforehand to loosen his skin. And then he will, and then he'll be shoving hot dogs down. So... but he was about 15 minutes late calling us, and he's about 5 minutes late calling us today. And I think there's actual news today. I think news. What is it? It's that North Korea is going to kill us all. So
it's not going to hit New York. It's going to hit us here.
That's what. So he doesn't care. He doesn't care about it because New York and Manhattan will be safe. Well, in any event,
will you call Laura?
Why don't you do that? Let's listen in. We're going to listen in right now as Sarah Dillon calls.
No, you're listening as I pick up the phone and Scotty J picks it up.
All right, Scotty, do not pick up the phone, please. Now, you shouldn't use the hotline, though. Scotty, do not...
Scotty,
don't... The problem is Sarah and Scotty share a phone bank. There's two different phones.
Okay, yeah. Because when he picks up...
Okay, just let me say this now. Now, Sarah has a phone and a bank of lines in front of her. It is a communal phone system, though. So Scotty has the same set of lines in front of him. The problem is every time Sarah picks up the phone to dial... Scotty looks down and thinks that someone has just left the phone off the hook for no reason and reaches over and hangs it up. So it's kind of like trying to light a candle and someone keeps blowing it out from across the room. All right, we're going to listen now as Sarah Dillon calls.
Very quiet.
Calls Laura Caviezel, the increasingly unreliable and flaky guest booker at CNN who was supposed to have scheduled Gary Baumgarten.
She's not answering.
What are the odds of that? Maybe she's off picking out a China pattern. Maybe she's picking out, like, a matching rhinestone pet collar to go with her, her fiancé's pet.
I know she gets left before, so maybe she left early.
Yeah. Isn't this supposed
to
be...
Laura, Sarah, KCMD. Just wanted to see if you knew where Gary Baumgarten was. He hasn't showed up for 1230 yet, so...
Because you didn't call him.
That'd be great. Just call the warm line.
That'd be great. You could just thank you.
Right. He's talking to the Japanese guy with a translator, and that's why it's
so I'm sure she'll get right on that. All right. We should keep it. You know, it's like you go to like a union shop and they have that like it has been X days since an accident, and it's always like it has been 340 days since a workplace accident. I want to start thinking here like it has been X days since Laura Caviezel at CNN screwed us somehow. Except you would never need a number other than zero. It would always just be you wouldn't even need you just paint the zero on. It has been 0 days. In the meantime, let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
We have two Arizona stories today.
Now, wait, hold on. Now, where's that Arizona sounder? I think I fixed it. Hold on.
Okay.
I believe I fixed the Arizona news sounder that a guy gave to us. Wait, hold on. Let's not freak out now. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. And, okay, let's see if it plays now.
Okay.
No, just, oh, for the love of God. Oh, stupid Bill Gates. No, see, it doesn't want to play. It'll play at my desk, but it won't play here. Something about needing a different codec, or I don't even know what a codec is. All right, fine. Well, just insert, like, a clever Arizona news sounder here.
Well, an Arizona woman has been arrested on charges. She kidnapped a teenage boy, took him to Indiana while being involved in a sexual relationship.
Because that's where you want to go for an exciting sexual tryst is Indiana.
How would you like to go to Maine of Martinsville, Indiana?
The home of One Day at a Time.
Mm-hmm. Denise Green, who's 32, took the 15-year-old boy, who was living in a group home in Arizona, the way to Martinsville, Indiana, which is west of Indianapolis.
I guess if you're living in a group home, that's kind of like going to Club Med.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, she told the FBI she had a relationship with the boy since last summer. Mm-hmm. She's now in federal custody on $1,000 bail.
Apparently, that'll hold her, especially because you only have to put up a tenth of it. You only... So she's in, so she's there on $100, basically.
Well, she only took him to Indiana. I mean, what is Indiana worth?
I don't even know what's in Indiana. Okay, quick. Who can name something of note in Indiana?
David Letterman came from there.
But like, okay, but he's no longer there.
No.
That doesn't count. We're going to sit
that
here.
That movie Hoosiers.
No, but that's a fake. That's not real, Tim. That's a movie.
It's a movie full of white people playing basketball.
Let's. It's a fantasy.
Would that really happen in real life?
No, it wouldn't.
A team with only white people playing basketball.
Okay, we're going to sit here until someone calls and tells us something notable that is in Indiana. It is 503-733-2970.
Don't they have beautiful mountains? No.
No. 503-733-2970.
The vacation paradise?
No. We are not going to move from this spot. We're not going to do anything until someone calls and tells us something notable that is in Indiana now. Not a thing that came from there like way back in the day. So keep your Jackson 5 references to yourself.
Aren't many of the world's most wondrous adventures?
Scotty J is typing on the screen. I get so excited when the phone rings. All right. All the lines, the phones are bleeding now.
These are all
say.
The Indianapolis listeners.
But they're all, I bet you they're all calling with the same thing. All right. Should I just take these in the order that they, in no particular order? I'm talking to myself. All right, I'll just take the, hello there, hello. Who is
Rick.
This? Hi, Greg?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What is in Indiana that I should care about?
Well, Rick, I know you're not the big sports buff that you're not.
Am I so transparent, sir?
No, Indianapolis 500, dude.
There you go.
Hello.
Oh, okay, don't get all uppity with me. Indianapolis 500. Okay,
but
so there's
that.
Thought
of that.
No, there's but how funny that no one thought of that.
There are three of us in here.
The three of us, we've all heard of it at least. Okay, no, that is true. See, the only thing I had was the One Day at a Time reference, starring Barbara Bonner. No, not Barbara Bonner. That was who was the woman that? Played Mrs. Romano.
Mackenzie Phillips.
No. She played the daughter, and Valerie Bertinelli, who played the mom, on One Day at a Time.
Oh no, I can't remember.
I can remember everybody but her. Valerie Bertinelli, Mackenzie Phillips, Pat Harrington Jr. played Schneider.
She's probably in the Indiana Hall of Fame.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Let's see. This is an exciting new radio program. A segment called What's in Indiana? Damien, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's in Indiana?
Hoosiers is real. Small town called Milan, Indiana. My family's from there.
It's not real.
It's real. My uncle went to the school.
This is a whole... Okay, this is a victorious basketball team made entirely of white people?
Yeah, it's old, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's from 1740. That would explain it, I think.
That does.
All right, so when did this actually take place in real life?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm 30 years old, and it's before me, so...
There are no books in which I could read this. I'm 30 years old. How could I know about anything that happened before 1976? It's impossible! All right, thank you, Damien.
Thanks.
Okay, there you go. I weep for the future. Hello, Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's in Indiana?
Hey, Rick. How about the University of Notre Dame?
That's not in Indiana.
Excuse me?
Notre Dame is in Indiana?
Did they move it?
What would it be doing there?
Why would it be in Indiana? Haven't we always assumed that Notre Dame was like someplace exciting like Boston?
In South Bend. Been there. Done that.
Notre Dame is in Indiana?
Absolutely. Guys, one for the Gipper.
When did they move it there?
That's so sad. That's like that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame being in Cleveland.
Just moved it recently, but it's there.
So they moved it like the London Bridge is in Arizona now?
Exactly. There you go.
Indiana, America?
I think the Hunchback is gone, but yeah, it's clear.
Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Sarah, did you know this? Don't you assume that Notre Dame is someplace exciting and Ivy League-esque like New Hampshire?
I don't know anything about Indiana.
The whole purpose of your show is to bring this kind of information to light, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but our show's like Wikipedia. Anybody can just call up and just make any like absurd claim, and who knows?
I am who I am because of your show, Rick.
I'm pretty sure that for the longest time, I think we thought Barry Bonds was a white man for a long time.
No.
One knows anything on this program.
And Johnny Mathis.
We thought Johnny Mathis was white.
That's all right.
It's in Indiana.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Steve. All right, there you go.
Okay, so one thing.
So there's Notre Dame. It still sounds wrong.
I know.
All right, let's continue the... hello, this is Rick Emerson Show. What's in Indiana?
Hello, Rick. This is Carol, the token Italian.
I have no... wait, hold on. Hold on. I think I... let's see if I have an Italian sound. Do I have an Italian... No, that's not it. I have nothing. All right. How can I help you, Carol?
Okay, first thing, it's Bonnie Franklin who is on One Day at a Time.
Bonnie Franklin, yeah. Not Frank Bonner. Frank Bonner was Herb Tarlick on WKRP. Yes. That's what I'm thinking.
Second thing, Valparaiso, Indiana, Orville Redenbacher's Popcorn.
Now, is Orville Redenbacher's Popcorn still based in Indiana?
Valparaiso, Indiana.
But it's still there. It's not like he's from there and then they moved it to, like, it's not owned by Clear Channel or something.
It's there. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Carol.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Note, Scotty. Note to self, we need a theme for Carol the Token Italian. Please to note that now. The Godfather theme will do nicely. There you go. Unless the Godfather theme would be perfect for Carol the Token Italian. Unless you have some sort of a bed with a guy saying, like, "Ah, it's America, I'm making a pizza." That'd be even better. Or maybe one laid over the other. Whatever happened to that soundbite of that guy? Remember that soundbite, that news bite we had of the guy of the mystery ethnicity? Mm-hmm. Where he was lot of, like, "It's a miracle!" But he was supposedly from, like, like Guam or something?
Yes.
All right. I'll just get one more. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's in Indiana?
One kick-ass amusement park by the name of Kings Island.
That doesn't count.
What?
Everybody has a place. Everybody has an amusement park. We have an amusement park here.
It holds, like, 5 records of, like, the biggest roller coasters in the world. Yeah.
I think you're making this up. This is like the Notre Dame thing.
And Notre Dame is in North Bend. Sorry, he's right.
Oh, okay, look, there's no need to get snotty about it. All right, hold on a second. What's the name of this amusement park?
It's called Kings Island.
I've never heard of anyone being hurt on a ride there.
No, if no one's died there, it can't be big enough. Sarah's looking it up right now. Kings Island Amusement Park.
Is it
that's the end of your phone call, sir. That is the end of your...
It's in Ohio.
All right, that is the end of that guy's phone call, and you know what happens.
No!
You know what happens when someone swears. You know... Okay, you have your choice, Sarah. You have your choice. Do you want hand one or hand two? Pick a hand.
One.
Thanks for the memories.
This is what happens when we swear. When we cannot use this transmitter responsibly, Dave. Dough.
By little, I mean I could make more working on Skid Row. That's cable TV. Thanks for the memory.
Don't you regret using that naughty word?
Half a year flew by. My Maury, what a guy. Instead of asking who's the daddy, he could talk Dubai. How stunned were we all.
The irony is it makes you want to swear more.
He would talk instead of listening, unaware of the concept of whispering. And when he did say
the right thing.
You'll hear her kind of go,
yeah. So rare. Why should I care? Thanks for the memories. The thing I love the most about Hubby as co-host is all those other anchors were as dull as Melba toast.
Here we go.
The sparks really flew.
Like she's hurling or choking or something.
For the memories. Now that the show is through, I've got bigger things to do.
No, you don't.
But Maury is back weighing in.
Oh.
Fat babies, how taboo. He can't get enough.
40 seconds left. This is the fault of Dave, who swore.
For the memories.
Oh my God.
As we come to
like
a
having
close,
a red hot poker shoved into my
we
eyes.
We say to friends and foes, thanks for tuning in to watch the con take on the pose.
She's gonna sound like Sue and a bear.
We thank
as Mrs. Claus.
Thank you. So much.
No, thank you, Dave.
Just good breath control, anyway.
Yes. No gag reflex. That's according to Gary Baumgarten. No, not about Connie Chung specifically. We should move on. It's 503-733-2970. That's the fault of Dave, who swore on the air. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Meanwhile, radical Islamic
militia fighters in Somalia shot and killed two people who were watching a banned world soccer broadcast. The hardline Muslim fighters...
No, Islam is a religion of peace.
Hijacked by a couple of radicals.
Yes, yes. There's just a couple. There's only a handful. A
couple billion. Who have been banned from watching television. Opened fire after a crowd of teenagers defied their orders to leave a hall where a businessman was showing Tuesday's Germany-Italia match on satellite television.
Look, I don't want to watch soccer either, but come on, man. There's a sense of proportion to these things. Start off with a beating, then you move up to the shooting.
Muslims have forbidden people from watching television or movies in line with their strict interpretation of Islam, which apparently is in their holy book. No television and movies.
Okay.
So they're God, whoever he is.
All right.
Meanwhile, authorities in Berlin say at least two World Cup fans have fallen victim to a prank that left them injured. The young men suffered bad bruising to the feet after kicking away soccer balls that were secretly filled with concrete.
Bada-bing!
At least a half a dozen concrete-filled balls have been changed to lampposts, handrails, and other trees around the city. Among the spray-painted messages, ask unsuspected passersby, quote, can you kick it, unquote. Police say they haven't developed any solid leads in the case. Berlin, meanwhile, is preparing to host the 2006 World Cup final on Sunday.
Well, okay. It's 503-733-2970. I've got a couple more of these. I don't know if I should take these. By the way, it's been noted to us by Eric, and he sent a link to prove this. Indiana has the world's largest ball of paint.
Ball of paint?
The world's largest ball of paint. Let's see. Hello, who is this?
This is Mike.
Mike,
listen. Indiana was the first successful goldfish farm. Was opened in Martinsville in 1899. That's got to be good for something.
Why do you know that?
Because I looked it up on the web, man. Trying to find interesting facts. Like ball of mud. I couldn't find the ball of paint one.
Well, see, it'd be more. Now, look. Not that we don't appreciate the call, because we do. But think of how much more that would be in the future. Just pretend that you know that stuff. That's the way to impress people. Look it up in like Google or something, and then be like, no, I'm gonna...
The first successful goldfish farm in the United States was open in Martinville, 1899. How about that?
That was weird. Was that like bad Mike who started talking there, or
was that evil Mike?
Yes, yeah, I didn't do it. Okay, freaking me out.
You have two people on?
I think he's got two people in his head. I didn't do it, officer, but bad Mike might have.
Schizophrenia, it's out.
You do that one more time.
No.
That's okay.
Evil Mike has come.
That's less impressive now. Okay, thank you, Mike. There you go. No, goodbye. It was more impressive when we were trying to open it up to you, Rick. Hey, look, the hotline's ringing. I wonder who that could be.
I'll let Scotty get it.
Let's stare at it and see who it is. I wonder if it's Gary Baumgarten calling only 22 minutes late.
Maybe it's Mr. Moonbees.
Yes, that seems likely. We're just staring at the phone now. George from Wilsonville's got a comment here, but I don't even want to pick him up. Well, maybe I will, just so I can play the...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hi, George, how can I help
you? Yes, I've got a little present for Kim Jong-il after this. Basically, they have a lot of people in Indiana that have little black jockeys on their lawns that I always want to knock over.
Really?
Yes, a lot of that.
Like actual, and this is, we're not being euphemistic, this is like actual lawn jockeys?
Yeah.
I didn't think you could do that anymore.
I know. Well, in Indiana, they still can. And also...
clearly an enlightened people.
Yes.
They're a red state, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And inside they have little black butlers that they have, you know, with their hands out, too, so...
With real butlers or, like, butlers made of things?
Made of metal.
Well, you can never tell.
Well, yeah.
To, like, hold wine and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, like a little, like a statue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
are you sick, George? Your voice sounds a little deeper.
Me?
Is this bad, George?
Is this bad? This is the evil George. Yeah. He's been drinking too much.
All right.
All right, here's for Kim Jong-il. Regular.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. All right. I don't even know what started happening.
With a simple discussion of Indiana.
Why were we talking of an Indiana? Oh, because she kidnapped a boy and took him there for hot love.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it for 20 minutes.
Hot, nasty criminal love. A love that dare not speak its name in Indiana. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. At what point did this show go horribly awry? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From New York City, our good friend of CNN. Thank you.
New York City.
CNN radio correspondent. Oh, yeah. Man about town. Man of the world. Hot dog contest enthusiast. And future hot dog eating competitor, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I'm in training.
You know, are you right? I'm telling you, man, next year, They're going to go down. They're going to be like, you. We go now for a live shot to Gary Baumgart, and you're not going to be there, and the camera's going to pan around trying to find you, and then you're going to be over there ripping your shirt off and shoving a hot dog right into your mouth.
That's right. It's going to be me and Sonya Taylor, the Black Widow, neck and neck.
Is that what they call her?
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right. So did you say that they're going to be putting footage of this hot dog thing on ESPN 12 or something?
I wouldn't be surprised. They right. This year they showed last year's, so they rerun it all the time.
Fantastic.
So it's really excuse me, a hot dog caught in my throat. It's really a getting to be quite the sport, the spectator sport.
Okay.
there we go.
All right. I'm going to skip the obvious joke about how you covered the story with relish.
Whoa.
Zing. So let me, moving on, don't give me that look. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
So these are, we're talking about this North Korea thing. So
yeah, more serious story, obviously.
I am so unclear about this. Okay, so when did this missile get fired, and is this the first time they've done it? Because they made it sound like they've done it like 50 times before.
No, they've done it before, but never in such large quantities, and that's why people are concerned, because they're obviously not backing down. You know, there was a memorandum of understanding the last time this happened between China, Japan and North Korea. North Korea agreed not to do this again because they're encroaching over Japanese airspace. The long-range missile that failed and splashed in the Sea of Japan was really designed to get close to the west coast of the United States to scare us into thinking that they could reach out and touch us.
Yeah.
You know, so, but we're not in any particular imminent harm's way in the United States, but the poor Japanese, even their short-range missiles, because of the proximity, are problematic, and of course the South Koreans as well, so... when they're doing this kind of saber rattling, and okay, as far as we know, all they have are ballistic type missiles, but they are, without question, developing a nuclear program. So what happens if they arm them with nukes? And given the history of Japan suffering in World War II, the nukes that we dropped, there's a high degree of sensitivity there.
Here's my thing, though, is that I'm reading that the UN Security Council is scheduled to meet Wednesday morning to discuss North Korea's action, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it does seem like, I mean, we're kind of doing all of this. Well, we're not going to stand for that, but it seems like we don't really, like, we are going to, that's the whole thing about them having weapons, and especially, you know, but as soon as somebody starts to get, like, nuclear weapons, we kind of have to stand for it, don't we?
Well,
I mean, what are we going to do?
The problem with, putting greater pressure on North Korea is the Chinese, who, you know, they're a permanent member of the Security Council. They have a veto. They're trying to maintain good relations with North Korea because they don't need a flood of North Korean refugees into China. So I don't know that it's necessarily altruistic, their reasoning for supporting North Korea. But they also have a history of asking the rest of the world not to meddle into the internal affairs of countries. And one can only guess why, given their own record on human rights. So whatever they do, it's not going to be as strongly worded as the proposed resolution that Japan entered, that the United States and the UK received on behalf of Japan today. They're going to have to back down from that, but Japan would like to have sanctions tossed at North Korea.
Let me ask you this. Is Kim Jong-il crazy?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. I mean, he's not just a guy who wants a lot of power. He seems very clearly nuts.
You know, if he had become part of the world community when the Clinton administration was trying to negotiate with him, I mean, have you ever seen satellite pictures of the Korean Peninsula?
No.
You could see the border at night between the South and the North because the South is lit up and there are no lights in the North. None. Zero. Zilch.
Sounds like a happy place to live.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so how much more can you do with sanctions towards this guy? I think very little.
Right.
Because they're already in a deep hole anyway.
All right, so I don't need to be buying a fallout shelter right away or anything, do I?
I don't think that there's any imminent danger, according to the military experts, that they're going to be able to reach out and touch the United States, no.
Yeah. Well, all right. Okay, Gary Baumgart, remember, I'll let you get back to training, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgart calling from New York City. All right, do we know why he was late calling?
No, I didn't talk to him. Did Scotty?
Scotty, do we have... Maybe it's Gary. Maybe it's not Laura. Maybe it's Gary. Maybe Gary just doesn't love us anymore. Maybe he's lost the ability to read time.
Maybe there's some problems he's not telling us about.
Maybe Gary's got troubles at home, and he's not filling us in. All right. It's 503-733-2... 970.
It seems that the people at CNN are usually pretty quick to call Laura out if it's her problem.
It's true, although Gary's different than that. He's not like a Roop in that. He doesn't have a heart full of black hate the way that Jim Roop does. It does seem like there's some sort of Gary Indiana joke that I'm missing here, and I'm not quite sure how to put it together, but it seems like it's just out of my grasp. Let's read a couple of these. Rick, apropos of nothing, emails about Darcells again. Oh, Martin, to the surprise of no one, Martinsville, Indiana, birthplace of the KKK. How proud they must be. A city named, you know, having that there is like going to Kent State. Like, what are you going to do? Kent State could cure cancer. Everybody's going to, oh, yeah, dead kids.
Oh, I think that's Indiana also.
Is Kent State in Indiana?
I believe so, yes.
Now, see, now I don't even know. I don't trust anybody now. Indiana has a city named Munster and a city named, bada bing, Portland. All right, there you go.
I thought you were going to say Herman.
No. No. It does have the world's largest ball of paint. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we really should break here. It's 503-733-2970.